Incredible.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The world begins to disappear. The worst things come from inside here. All the things men reappear for an man. On and off the wall. We'll never be together again.
A diverse and inclusive force is a war-fighting imperative. This is on a slide at the Air Force Academy. General Clark, do you agree with that statement?
I do agree with that statement, sir.
So, I mean, were the Mongols diverse?
Well, sir, I'm not really as versed on Mongol warfighting as
how about the
U.S.
Vikings?
Warfighting.
Were the Vikings diverse?
Again, sir, I'm looking at our country, the most diverse country in the world.
Sure, but this is about a war-fighting imperative. How about the force in Ukraine? Are the Ukrainians fighting the Russians a diverse force?
Sir, once again, my concern is the people that I'm charged to build into leaders.
You know, good for Matt. This is Matt Gaetz, our congressman, asking the superintendent of the United States Air Force Academy whether the statement that diversity is crucial to warfighting capability is correct or not based on, you know, history.
A diverse and inclusive force is a warfighting imperative.
It's not. And, you know, this is kind of an interesting topic because, you know, we've been told so many times that diversity is strength. And diversity can be strength, but diversity isn't usually strength. Diversity is usually conflict, strife, tension. Now, you can bring strength out of that, but what Matt's getting at in this line of questioning is the Mongols were not diverse, they were homogenous. The Vikings were not diverse, they were similar. And if you go through, you know, the Ukrainians, you know, you pick your strong military presence throughout history, the Roman legions, they were not diverse. The strength of a military command is that it operates in a single way. And they wear a uniform, and they have a standard set of ranks, and they have orders. And you're not taught to be an individual. You're taught to be a piece in a fighting operation. Because when everybody does their own thing, it's chaos. It's anarchy. And when everybody's different, that's not strength. That's weakness, typically. Again, you can bring it out, you can manage diversity into strength, but by its basic nature, strength is strength, and strength is often, historically, again, if you look at it, a byproduct of similarity, not a byproduct of diversity. Think about something dumb like a classroom. In a classroom, what do? Well, you know, I taught for about 10 years, and in my classrooms, we spoke English as an example. Now, if one person in my class spoke French, and one person in my class spoke Spanish, and one person in my class spoke German, and one person spoke Japanese, and then one person spoke English, would you have diversity? Well, yeah. Would it be a good class? Would it be productive? Would it be strong? Would it be useful? No, but it would be diverse. In a military, if each person thinks their own way, does things their own way, comes up with their own answers and makes their own decisions, strength or weakness. No, that military is going to get run over. And that's what Matt is, he's getting at the idea, this assumption that the diversity where things produce different perspectives and different insights is somehow strength. Well, it's a lie. I mean, it's not true. And he's trying to point that out with respect to these things. Now, does that mean that, you know, having male, female, black, white diversity within the ranks is a problem? Well, it can be. If they do things differently, if you have to create different standards, if there's disharmony as a result of it, can it be managed into strength? Sure. Oh, and by the way, the fact that all things are done a certain way doesn't mean they're done the right way. You know the old expression, right? There's the right way, the wrong way, and the army way. Okay? The point of that is, it doesn't really matter whether it's the best or the worst. It's because it's done the same, it produces a certain kind of power. Similarity, even the wrong similarity, produces a certain kind of power. Now, that doesn't guarantee you're on the right track. I mean, the Nazis were similar. Were the Nazis weak? The Nazis didn't roll over foreign militaries and countries because they were weak. That doesn't mean they were right. It just means they were strong. They're obviously strong. Okay, so the notion that diversity somehow produces strength is, I mean, it's not true. So, you know, but you can be strong and homogenous and similar on the wrong path. And so one of the values of diversity is that it can be a corrective mechanism to point out that you're not on the right path. It can be a corrective to raise the question, are we doing this right? Should we maybe do it a different way? But if you do decide to do it a different way, the strength doesn't come from the challenge, the friction, the question, doesn't come from the diversity at the moment of diversity. It comes from creating unity around a new, better goal, standard, objective, method, whatever you have it, okay? On the production line, if everybody's following the same pattern, everything works. You might be following an inferior pattern. So you come in and you change the production line. But if the production line is trying to do different things, you just don't get a product at all. Then when everybody's doing it the new way, then you get the good product and it's actually a better product. Again, so just this ongoing premise, this assertion that diversity is strength is, I mean, it's just false. And I'm glad that he brings this up. Now, he didn't bring it up in this context, okay? He brought it up in a little bit different context. But just to finish up his statement, his interaction with the general.
You would acknowledge that throughout history, including present history, that statement hasn't borne true in every example, right?
Sir, what I would say is that those countries have to rely on the full force of their population to build a war-fighting force, to win our wars, and that's why it's important for us to be diverse.
And again, here, what I think the general would want to say is, because we have such a diverse nation, and America does have a diverse nation, and drawing on that whole diversity in order to populate the military is useful, true, but then getting all of those diverse elements to all work together in a unified, non-diverse way, that's actually how you get strength. So just... It's an interesting philosophical conversation. I'm glad Matt brings it up with the superintendent. That wasn't the news note. That wasn't the part of that conversation that got the news. It had to do with, you know, gender identity and some of the other stuff that came up later in the conversation. But I thought that part of it was at least worth talking about for a second. 617 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it's brought to you by Coastal Machinery Company with over 40 years in the business, locations in Pensacola and Crestview. Now we're watching an accident. This is I-10 eastbound exit 10B right near the Car City exit 10B. That's the one that goes north towards Cantonment. Now, as I think it's down to one lane. They're saying use caution. It's definitely down to one lane. Use caution that area, and caution certainly wherever you are. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. I got a text in from somebody who says, is Al-Qaeda diverse and inclusive of women as equal? You know, no, but no. The Taliban, not diverse.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, are they the best government? Absolutely not. Are they strong? They are, weirdly. You know, that's the problem. Somebody else says... 437-1620. I couldn't agree more. Having been forward deployed in an unwelcome area, doesn't matter the diverse or homogenous characteristics of my fellow Marine. It just mattered that we had each other's backs. You know, and when the breach team goes in to clear the building, what you don't want is everybody diversely coming up with their own solution to that problem. You want to have all done it the same way 100 times, and everybody knows he's going right, he's going left. That's what that hand signal means. This is where we point our gun. I mean, you know, diversity in that situation is a problem. So anyway, I know I'm harping, but when we used to talk, I used to teach ethics and logic, and this was one of the things we'd spend some time talking about is understanding what the terms mean and then really understanding whether the claims that get made about these things are right or not. 437-1620, and always, please, always feel welcome to disagree with me. You absolutely are. You know, if you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, great place to buy good quality used cars. 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, good prices, good people. They'll take care of you after the sale in addition to before. You know, they're not just trying to get you to buy that one car and never see you again. They're actually trying to get you to be so happy you bought that one car that you never buy from anybody else ever again. It's a very different mindset, and it's why we love them. It's why other people rave about them and drive around with their bumper stickers on their car and go back again and again and again. I don't imagine buying any other car from anywhere else just because our experience was really that good. Plus, the selection's amazing. About 300 cars, trucks, vans, sedans, Jeeps, all on the lot at the same time. So you can compare a lot of different things that are almost new to each other side by side. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Experience the freedom of PGT Custom windows and doors with one of our best deals ever. With over 7 million units installed and zero reported impact failures, PGT impact-resistant windows and doors give you confidence in your investment. Now, through July 31st, you can earn $35 off every window and $110 off every door from PGT's WindGuard line of products. Reimagine your lifestyle. Go to pgtwindows.com to learn more. That's the freedom of PGT.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What's up?
I'm tired of feeling so bloated.
That used to be me. Then I got this.
Align Bloating Relief plus food digestion. A probiotic, right?
Yeah, it works naturally with your gut to help soothe occasional bloating and gas. Plus, it has vitamin B12 to aid digestion by helping convert food to cellular energy. Two benefits, one capsule.
Align Bloating Relief plus food digestion from the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Learn more at AlignProbiotics.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, head downtown for another Gallery Night Pensacola. Enjoy this fun community events, live music, food, and friends. This month's theme is Sustainable Summer. See GalleryNightPensacola.org. Saturday evening at the new Bayview Community Center in East Hill, it's Bands on the Bayou. Ben Lofton and the family takes the stage at 6:30. More at BandsOnTheBayou.com. Submit your event at NewsRadio923.com.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Drop 547.
Second.
Please vote.
What? What in the world?
20. Y'all really want to drop that? Oh man, our technology improving. Grover, since you left, I mean, it's just gone down the drain.
What they're talking about is at the Escambia County Commission meeting, they took a vote, and it should have been a 5-0 vote, and it was like a 20-0 vote. And the only reason I understood what was happening is because having watched other meetings in the area, they were having this problem with the Milton City Council meeting too. And you remember that they were talking about 19-0 votes and things like that. There's some kind of weird thing going on with the civic clerk system that produces these bizarre totals. And I don't know why. I don't know what the mechanism or what the issue is, but apparently they're having it at both Milton City Council. And I think Santa Rosa uses civic clerk now, and I think maybe Pensacola City uses civic clerk. Like, it's a system that kind of everybody is going to now. And so the Escambia County Commission was having the same issue, which kind of became funny.
Lumen, just don't let them use this system in the voting machines at the next time.
Oh, that's a good one, Jeff.
I'll be here all week. Thank you.
You got a lot of applause off of that, Jeff.
A smattering.
No, don't worry about it. Passes 25-0. Harsh.
I give them both credit. It's a pretty good joke by Jeff Bergosh and pretty good follow-up by Lumen May. 6:24 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne's got our headlines. David?
Two records were broken on Tuesday with this heat wave across the Southwest. The National Weather Service says in Phoenix, seems like all our heat wave news comes from Phoenix. The temperature never dipped below 97 degrees on Tuesday morning, making it the city's warmest low temperature of all time. Later that day, it got up to 119 degrees. Would you say Phoenix is hot, Andrew?
Phoenix is hot, yeah, and horrible all the time.
Hot and horrible all the time.
Even in the winter, it's still pretty hot.
And the The Biden administration has now suspended funding for the Wuhan virus lab in China. A memo from the Department of Health and Human Services says the institute likely failed to comply with safety protocols and did not provide U.S. agencies with requested documents. And earlier this year, Netflix announced they were going to start enforcing their password sharing restrictions. Looks like that paid off for them. The latest earnings report was released, and it showed big growth in both revenue and in subscribers.
There's no question that Netflix is the king of streaming right now. They're the only ones that have a profit. They're the only ones really accelerating real meaningful growth with this password sharing crackdown. You know, everyone else is simply trying to stay in the same ballpark and fight for really that number two or number three spot.
And that's Alex Weprin with The Hollywood Reporter. And it looks like they showed growth of 6 million paid subscribers after the password restrictions went into play.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update.
437. Here's a great motivator.
That's right. Somebody was continuing to text in folks about the diversity discussion. Somebody says, when the Air Force Academy is talking about diversity, they're not saying that everybody does military tactics differently. They're saying being inclusive of all different types of people from this country, which I agree. I mentioned that. It says, I'm a hardcore right-wing Republican, retired Marine Corps officer. Personally, I think Matt Gaetz is an idiot. I mean, other people have that opinion as well. But the issue of diversity, again, is where does it come into practice? Are we just talking about superficially measuring that people have different skin color, different height, different handedness, you know, that kind of stuff? In which case, I mean, diversity is irrelevant. Not handedness necessarily. That could matter based on how you train people. But or are we talking about viewpoint and perspective? Because if we're talking about viewpoint and perspective, then we are talking about behavior ultimately. And if viewpoint and perspective leads to divergent behavior or disagreement over appropriate behavior, it's not strength. Again, unless you can manage it towards strength, but it's not inherently strength. Not to belabor the point, but I did want to respond to the good text that came in. 437-1620. I wrote an article for Island Times. Island Times came to me, 2 months ago and said, hey, we want you to write an article about a recipe of yours. And I said, well, sure. So this came out July 13th is when it came out while I was on vacation. And the title of it is Mom's Pot Roast. I wrote about my mom's pot roast. I'm going to read for you. I like to write. Writing is fun. Haven't done it a lot in a while. If there's any one person who deserves credit for teaching me how to cook, it's my mom. A home economics major, yes, that was a thing in 1966. My mom literally earned an MRS degree at Albion College in Michigan. Yeah, she met my dad. And her biggest goal for her only child was that I would be able to take care of myself and not depend on anyone else. The woman who sold all the canvas on a pop-up camper she built with my dad taught me how to mend clothes. The woman who managed the customer service division for AT&T's 1-800 lines taught me how to balance a checkbook. She taught me to do laundry. She taught me to type. She taught me to sing, and of course, she taught me how to yell at the television when the umpire blew a call at the plate. But one of the most enduring things my mom taught me was how to cook. My mom was never afraid to try something new, trying food experiments that sometimes produce great results and sometimes produce leftovers. So she definitely instilled in me a willingness to give it a try and fail and succeed. But my mom also knew that when you find a recipe that works, you stick with it, especially if it's simple. So years after she taught me how to cook, whenever I would return home from whatever faraway place I had been, she would ask what I wanted for dinner, and my answer was always the same, your pot roast, of course. In 2001, I lost my mom to the evil that is breast cancer. Because of everything she taught me, and also because I still have many hand-me-downs from her kitchen, including her recipe cards, her mixer, and even her Cutco knives, whenever I cook, I feel like she's still with me. So cooking for me is a way of keeping my mom's memory alive and remembering how she would laugh and hug and encourage and taste the batter and warn me that if I didn't behave, quote, I brought you into this world and I will take you out. Like all good cooks, oh yeah, she said that a lot. Like all good cooks, my mom would eagerly borrow from and give credit to others. As evidence, it says right here in her own cursive handwriting that this recipe came from the kitchen of her lifelong and dearest friend, Kathy Smith. With a little insight into what cooking means to me and why I try to pass it on to my own children, along with the unconditional love of the grandmother they never got to meet, here's how to make my mom's pot roast. So, and then I gave the recipe, and I will share this to our Facebook page for News Radio. So, you know, if you want to read it or if you care about the recipe, it really is quite good as testimony.
That's right. Yeah. When you showed me the thing, I made a copy so I could put it on what we call our Twitter poll so other people could see that you were in the Island Times. And I had a copy in my pocket, went to Publix, got all the ingredients, except I put it in a crock pot And it took 11 hours.
It will take you a long time in the crock pot. Yes.
Amazing. And it's the best pot roast I've ever had. I usually just get it from Publix and warm it up.
I got you.
So I think it's better than theirs. And it's Darren's favorite pot roast he's ever had. He had me make some for him this morning before for work at 4:30. It's a great recipe. That's awesome.
And like all my favorite recipes, it's basically very simple.
Pretty easy.
It's like five or six ingredients, and you just set it in the oven to go for a while. In the oven, it doesn't take 11 hours.
Right, but the crock pot, it does. You can set it and forget
it. Fair enough. Anyway, like I said, I'll share that to our Facebook page, so if you care, you can have it for yourself. David Wayne, what do you have coming up in your news, sir?
Closing arguments expected today in the Dekavion Snowden trial. We'll have more after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. One winning Powerball lottery ticket's been sold at a mini mart in Los Angeles.
The jackpot had been growing since mid-April. The billion-dollar grand prize, the third largest in the game's history, which began back in 1992. There is another big jackpot up for grabs this week. Friday night's Mega Millions jackpot, estimated to be worth at least $720 million.
Fox's 10 Lindner. Police in Alabama say they can't confirm anything about Carly Russell's story. She says she was kidnapped after calling 911 to report a toddler walking along an interstate.
Her phone also revealed some internet searches.
You have to pay for an Amber Alert or search.
As well as how to take money from a register without being caught, a one-way ticket to Nashville, and a search for the movie Taken.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. Investigators are trying to piece together where Russell was during the 49 hours she was missing. She says she escaped from a man and woman who'd pulled her into an 18-wheeler. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 80 right now. Partly cloudy here in Pensacola. Jury deliberations expected to begin today to determine whether one of the two suspects in the Ladarius Clarity shooting is guilty. After the state rested their case yesterday, Dekavion Snowden's defense attorney asked for an acquittal.
The state has failed to present substantial, competent, and reliable evidence to show that Mr. Snowden is the individual who caused the death of Ladarius Clarity, or that Mr. Snowden did some act in furtherance of the attempted cause of death of Mr. Eric Young.
Snowden is facing a mandatory sentence of life in prison if he's convicted. Closing arguments beginning at 8:30 this morning. Well, there could be changes coming to the public comment portion at future Escambia County School Board meetings. It's at least being discussed.
If we had 100 people in the room, could the chair decide to, like they do at the State Board of Education meetings, we only have a certain amount of time, so everybody, instead of 3 minutes, they get 2 minutes, or they get one.
Board member Patty Hightower there, and she threw out that idea during Tuesday's school board workshop. Other ideas included allotting 30 minutes for public comment at the beginning of the meetings, moving it to the end of the meetings, or just leaving it alone and not making any changes. No action on that policy was taken. Interim Superintendent Keith Leonard and the district's attorney will be working on a consensus policy that could be discussed at a future workshop as well. The state of Florida now being sued over how it restores voting rights to felons. The Florida Rights Restoration Coalition filed that lawsuit yesterday. They say the state is not helping people figure out if they are or are not eligible to vote. In some cases, folks who thought they did have their right to vote restored ended up being arrested. An FRRC official telling Orlando's Channel 9 that it's the state's responsibility to make sure they have a system in place to let people know if they're eligible. When you think about getting your kid ready to go back to school, you might think about a trip to the store, purchasing some notebooks, pens, of course, the always required number 2 pencil. But another thing that's needed to go back to school is immunizations. Community Health Northwest Florida was at Attucks Court Apartments helping kids get their required shots before the school year this week. The organization had their mobile medical unit out on Wednesday. Community Health says that some students have been unable to start school on time because they're not up to date on their immunizations. More information on what's required for students to get back to the classroom is available online at the Community Health website, and you can find that at healthcarewithinreach.com. newsradio923.org. It is 6:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic. Candy, what are you seeing?
This is brought to you by David's Catfish House. And we're still just watching that one accident, and it's down to one lane. This is Highway 29 at I-10 eastbound, exit 10B. So if you're coming off I-10 eastbound, this is the exit that goes towards Cantonment. It looks like it is down to one lane after a crash this morning. So use caution there. And certainly wherever you are, David's Catfish House, they're on Dogwood Drive in Milton and New Warrington and Pensacola. Try their coleslaw. It's delicious. If you have you been there?
Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
God. It's so good.
It is good.
If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you, Candy. Sure. And now our Channel 3 weather.
Dangerous heat continues here for Thursday. Here on Thursday morning, we're warming up quickly. We're expecting highs today to top out in the middle 90s. Some spots closer to the coast may be a little bit cooler, but all of us will feel like 100 plus for feels like temperatures, 105 to 110 for some of the inland spots. And that heat index and that dangerous heat will continue on into Friday as well, even Saturday. But Saturday night into Sunday, our rain chances return and temperatures will eventually fall. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
79 right now in Pensacola. It's 82 in Gulf Breeze and 77 in Milton. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. Surging international travel helped United Airlines more than triple its profit during the latest quarter, and the carrier strengthened its outlook for the rest of the year. United reported profit of $1.08 billion during the 3 months ended June 30th, up from $329 million the same period a year ago. Airlines have been flying high on robust demand for travel following the pandemic. Rival Delta also reported record profits and revenue as fears failed to materialize that economic uncertainty or rising inflation would deflate the travel boom. The U.S. has a small tanker backup off the Texas coast thanks to geopolitics and the business realities of global oil trade. Federal prosecutors seized a Greek vessel carrying 800,000 barrels of Iranian oil earlier this year, but they can't auction the crude off because U.S. companies are reluctant to unload it. Companies that manage the transfer of oil from ship to shore say they're too worried about Iranian reprisals to handle the captured oil. That's Your Money Now.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? It's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. It's the sound of $17.5 billion in new investments to produce EVs and batteries in Michigan. And that's the silence of Michigan's new En-ROAD wireless charging system. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Did you know China starts teaching financial literacy in preschool? American kids are getting left behind, but we can help at home thanks to The Sensibles, a team of animated superheroes who help kids develop smart money habits in a fun way. Each month, they get a kit in the mail with a DVD, a comic book, access to an interactive website, fun activities, and lots more. Visit bcs-kids.com today and enter promo code CENT for 20% off. Digital subscriptions also available. The Sensibles. It's the sensible thing to do.
Tomorrow morning at 10:30, join A-Hope on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe that every life is precious, that every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Discover the resources you need to make your community a better place for pets. Tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I would also like to mention that on today's agenda, tonight's agenda, there's $23 million worth of projects that are being awarded. That's fantastic. We used to pride ourselves if we did $20 million worth of construction in a year. And now we're awarding $23 million on one agenda.
Yeah, the county is doing all kinds of things. Received tens of millions of dollars in various grants over the last couple of weeks. Approved $23 million in spending projects on Tuesday night's Escambia County Commission meeting. That, of course, is the voice of our county administrator, Wes Moreno, who joins us by phone now. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How you doing?
Oh, man, I am doing really well. A lot of money being spent, a lot of drainage projects that you're spending money on, and we know that's expensive stuff, and that's what a lot of people showed up to complain about. But, I mean, that's important things, especially with we saw this big storm that happened in the last week in addition to all the other storms that we have had, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, we're going to be investing more in drainage more and more, and we know it's a hot topic. I mean, you know, I've been at this a long time, and we have spent millions of dollars in drainage infrastructure throughout the years. But, you know, it's an issue. Every time you get 15 inches of rain in a short amount of time, there's going to be areas of Escambia County that absolutely have a challenge when it comes to drainage. And so we're going to keep chasing it. We're going to keep going after it and keep doing it and keep working it. And keep building. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, you got the Resilient Florida grant program, put in almost $16 million, $5 million for the Pensacola Bay Living Shoreline and NAS Pensacola and Sherman Inlet. Bayou Grand Villas drainage, $2.5 million. Greater Wedgewood, almost $4 million. Muldoon Velma Softly Field drainage, $2.5 million. The Gulf Beach Highway drainage outfall, $0.5 million. And then Bridal Trail Estates drainage, almost $2 million. You know, in my neck of the woods, the Oakwood Acres, Palo Fox, Monroe, Brickyard, all of that. Massive project, $26 million from the state. That's a huge number. And then the other half of that grant for the Rebuild Florida Infrastructure Repair was $26 million and a half for the ECAT new transit center. Now, I'm going to pause on that one and ask you this question, because when I saw that, I thought, $26 million granted, it's state money, which is sort of our money indirectly. It's not our, you know, local budget money, which is good, but that seems like an enormous price tag for ECAT. Help me understand why this is a good spend, even though it's not our money, why it's a good spend for this money.
Well, there's several reasons. One, the building, the facility that ECAT, where it exists today, is in a flood zone. When we had that heavy rain, it flooded there as well. And it floods the back half of the sheriff's department. And so we want to get it out of that flood zone. We want to build a new facility, a leaner, meaner facility, if you will. And we're going to transform ECAT into a much more efficient operation. You know, I met with Rodriguez earlier in the week, and we were talking about microtransit, where you bring in these vehicles that maybe haul 10 people, maybe they're 10 people.
Like the shuttle van kind of size?
Yeah, that's right, that's right. And you disperse them in certain areas. We're going to create zones. We're going to start with Inslee. We're going to create a zone in Inslee, and we're going to implement that strategy there and see how it works. We think we're going to be very successful, and that will allow us to pull some of these big buses off the road, and some of these, especially the older ones that are kind of at the end of life anyway, but they, you know, they're high in emissions, they're high in maintenance, they're high in fuel, and so we have a strategy. We do have the strategy there at ECAT. And so that's the reason for building the ECAT. We get it out of the flood zone. We can demo that building, peel up all the asphalt, and make it area a green space, if you will, that will help alleviate some of the flooding in that particular area.
Wow. Okay. So the current facility off Fairfield is going to be green space, which makes sense given, I mean, all the flooding issues in that area. I understand. I mean, going as far back, obviously, as the 2014 flood, and we lost the central booking and detention because of water. And that, I mean, that whole area is a mess, as you well know. Where is the new facility going to go?
We're looking around Midtown Commerce Park, there off Tower 5. So not too far, just down the road a piece.
That's the US 29, the old the Superfund site. In case people don't know that name for it, that's what we're calling it now, the Midtown Commerce site. Okay, and then you mentioned taking big buses off the road. That makes me happy because I perceive those as not always, but often being a very inefficient form of transportation. Do you have any sense yet of like how much of the fleet is going to be retired, how much of it's going to be downsized, and also we've talked off and on about the ridership study and trying to figure out how to really make it efficient. Is that done or is that still ongoing?
It is done. That's what we were going through earlier in the week.
Okay.
Me and Rod and Leslie Hall, that's what we were going through. We were going through that study earlier in the week. It is done. And with the first zone that we create and we, you know, it's going to, if I purchase these vehicles today, I might not get them for a year. So,
yeah, right.
You know, it's going to take a bit of a time. So, but we think we can pull, you know, 5 to maybe 6 of those big buses off the street to begin with, and then, you know, progress from there.
That's, well, good. Out of a fleet of how many for ECAT?
They have about 30 buses right now.
Okay, so we're talking about retiring, you know, 20% of the big buses and finding other solutions. Okay, well, I mean, that's a step in the right direction. All right, I mean, that's exciting to me. 6:45 here on News Radio 92.3, talking to Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, hang on for just a second. Candy's got traffic on the 5.
Dude, I am trying to take notes, but that's fine. And great job, Wes. As we take a look at our roads, Highway 29 and I-10 eastbound, it's the exit for 10B. It is down to one lane after a crash this morning. Certainly, if you see an accident or a slowdown, you can let us know and text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. And just by the way, in case you didn't catch all the news on this, the Rebuild Florida Voluntary Home Buyout Program, $3 million. The Hometown Revitalization Program, $5 million. The Florida Housing Repair and Replacement Program, $9 million. So we got, I mean, there's a lot of money coming into Escambia County over the last couple of weeks, which really, and I just want to give you 30 seconds to praise them, Wes. This is really a testament to the staff you've got working for you, the grant writers, and their willingness to go after these bucks and get them, right?
It is. The staff's done a fantastic job. It was a very short timeline when these things, grants started rolling out. And Elizabeth Kissel, I can't say enough good about her. She's driving the timeline. She's driving the deadline. She's driving the reports. I mean, she's reminding everybody, hey, you got this due here, this due there. She's just fantastic. And then, of course, you have the staff. You have, you know, Chips and Tim Day and Ryan Kirby and Natural Resources, Tim Evans and Garrett Griffin there with Claire Long and CRA. You have Jordan Lackman and Rob McCracken and Chris Phillips there in engineering. And you have, of course, you have Rodriguez there at ECAT and his team. Everybody came together. Everybody played their role. And we got it. You know, we it's a strategy. We worked the strategy as best we could. Commissioner Bender went to Tallahassee more than once. We had Liz is on a first name basis with the folks at DEO.
That's
they
good.
They see her number come up and they know they better answer. So it was just a great strategy and a great effort by the staff. And I appreciate all of them so much.
Well, that's good news, and we certainly appreciate what they do. I wanted to ask you a question that I didn't even realize kind of how, and I'm going to say it this way, how bad this was, but, you know, it had become well known that we didn't have a committee of the whole meeting. You know, the one for July got canceled. Then I started looking at the ones that had gotten canceled previously, when they would kind of get together and just hash out things and, you know, talk freely while they can do it in the sunshine. We didn't have a committee of the whole meeting in January, and I started looking back at the meeting list, and we didn't have one in May. And we canceled one in April, and we canceled one in March, and we canceled one in February, and we canceled one in January. We canceled December, November, October. The last time we had a committee of the whole meeting was September 8th of last year. This is bad. I mean, we need these meetings so that they can have conversations in direct government outside of the regular agenda and the meetings, right?
I don't know, Andrew. I think we've been doing pretty good, honestly.
I see.
I mean, you know, there's a discussion. I have a discussion agenda. Part three is just is my discussion, and I can put anything on that discussion that they need to talk about. So, I don't see it as them not discussing certain issues or certain topics. I can put it on a discussion like they did the other night. I had a restore discussion, and that gives them the opportunity, and they can we can still address the issues. We can still talk about the issues, and do it right there in a public meeting in the sunshine. So I don't know that we're, in my opinion anyway, I don't know that we're losing anything. If there's a certain topic that may take quite some time, okay, yeah, we'll have a committee of the whole. But if it's something that can be handled on my discussion agenda, I'll do that.
Well,
I think that's more efficient.
Yeah, let me just push back for a second. Obviously, you're going to disagree, and that's fine, but I remember watching the cows, and you would always have more stuff to be haggled about than you had time to do it all the time. And these were, a couple hours long meetings, and you always had like, we can get to 1 and 2 and 3, but we can't get to 4 and 5. So next time we do 4 and 5, and then we got a new 1 and 2. And what I remember is that these meetings were very robust, very interesting, very thoughtful and in-depth. It's hard to believe that the full business of the county has suddenly become so simple and streamlined that we can do it without all of that conversation. That's my perception as a citizen. Convince me I'm wrong.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I think we're doing very well. I mean, we're handling business. We're doing business. Things are going as well as they can possibly go. I don't know. I mean, there are some issues hanging out there, but they're being worked. And, if I thought we needed a committee of the whole, we would have one. If I thought we had an issue that was going to take 2 hours to go through, we would have one. But I don't see those issues at the moment. And the discussion agenda is can be very robust, or it can be very minimal. But if there's something that needs to happen, we can talk about it there in discussion.
All right.
At a regular board meeting. I mean, I don't know. I guess I see us being more efficient with our time. I don't need directors sitting in the boardroom, just sitting there. I need directors out working. I need staff out working. I don't need them sitting in the boardroom. And that's kind of been our approach.
All right. I hear you. I mean, I'm always listening to the people who disagree, and I certainly respect that things have in many ways been going well. So I'll take it. I'll take it as a response. Last thing, and we just don't have a lot of time to deal with this, but I just wanted to ask you, what's the scope of the reconsideration of the Perdido roundabout? Are we talking about, because Commissioner Bergosh brought this up the other day, are we looking at whether it should be widened to 2 lanes? Are we looking at whether it should be abandoned for some other thing? What is the scope of the assessment going to be?
We'll see. I know Chris Phillips, he came up the other night. I know Chris has spent some time out there, and he'll put the scope of the study together. I don't know if it's going to be demoing the roundabout and putting in a signal, or if it's going to be adjusting the current roundabout and putting 2 lanes in. I'm not sure what the end results are going to be or what they're going to look at, but I'm sure they will probably look at more than one solution.
Okay.
And then we'll take that into consideration.
Okay. And I have to assume that if it is signalization as the end solution, that part of the, that would be interconnected with the ATMS when that all gets up and running. And I mean, I'm assuming all of that in advance. I just thought it was a sudden announcement that we were going to, they at least consider completely undoing that choice, which, hey, if it's not working, it's not working. I get that. I just was curious how broad the scope of this was, and you kind of answered that. Also, we have a new emergency coordinator, so we've hired another staff, so I always appreciate that. And cut positions, your budget. It's kind of interesting to hear the discussion about the position that have been eliminated because they didn't need to be filled. Wes Moreno, the Escambia County Administrator. As always, Wes, thank you for the time. Thanks for answering our questions. And I will give you credit. Things do run really well, so maybe you've got the right of this and the argument about whether the cows are even needed, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. Have a good day now.
Absolutely. 653 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
The summer selection of Volkswagens is filling up the lot at Pete Moore Imports. Looking for a sedan with incredible style and fuel economy? The 23 Jetta S. Now from $22,499. Need more space but want to keep it sporty? The crossover Taos S from $24,999. Next up is the Tiguan S with more room and third row seating from $27,999. And the Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology has high-tech features all at your fingertips, now from $39,999. But the biggest of them all, the 23 Atlas SE with technology will comfortably seat seven adults and is now from $41,995. And the VW ID4 EV is waiting for you to experience electric vehicle technology like never before. So choose from a selection of VWs for every kind of driver this summer at Pete Moore Imports. They're not at Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Moore Imports is on New Warrington Road, just up the street from NAS Pensacola, the home of the Blue Angels.
Prices before tag, tax title, and associated dealer fees. See dealer for details.
When it comes to Medicare-related plans, one size does not fit all. From plans that help cover out-of-pocket costs to comprehensive plans that include additional benefits and features, you're sure to find an option that fits your healthcare needs and your budget. Listen today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel to hear Ricky Stewart discuss how she can help you make the right insurance choice. That's today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Okay, next time you're at the store, I dare you to not think about the unmistakable fresh, clean scent of Irish Spring. Yeah, you heard me. I want you to resist picturing a shower filled with those sensational Irish Spring suds. And if you succeed, well, you got what my gramps used to call resolutitude. Not a real word, but let's be honest, you're probably going to end up leaving with Irish Spring because of its irresistible scent and because you have zero resolutitude. Pick up Irish Spring today.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
My heart only runs on Supreme.
Ella le gusta la gasolina.
I end up working in a gas station.
I can't drive 55.
National average for a gallon of gas, 358. Florida average is 345. Mississippi is 302. And California is 489. And Navarre, it's 312 east of the Walmart, 311 west of the Walmart. So one penny variance since yesterday. 308 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, 329 improper. And Milton, 312 at the CEFCO. Same at the Pea Ridge Murphy, 326, I think, is the main price in going through Pace. If you're into Pensacola, looks like 311 at the Walmart, 311 on 9 Mile. Same at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29, and then 298 at the Pure Station on Jackson. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I sure do. As we sorry, I was listening to the gas. As we take a look around, there's something else that just popped up. This is, looks like 87, right where it meets Highway 98 and then Bronxon Road as well, showing an accident, but showing that it's clear. Still showing that it is down to one lane, though. This is I-10 eastbound at exit 10B, the Car City exit. Looks like it is down to one lane. Well, no, it looks like it's been cleared up. Okay, good. So, all at the same time. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip or you see something that we haven't talked about yet, or you know, different, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, got a couple of texts in following up my line of questioning with Wes about not having the committee of the whole meetings. Somebody said, Andrew, you of all people should know that government works best when they're not meeting. Once you get them together, they mess everything up. That's jaded. Maybe not always untrue. And somebody else said, not to defend West, but what issue has not been dealt with because of lack of discussion that could be done at the committee meeting? I prefer to not have meetings for the sake thereof. To which I responded, it's okay to defend West. He might be right. I mean, you know, you always ask the question and then listen to somebody's answer. 657 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The wife of a suspected New York serial killer has filed for divorce. Court filings show the wife of Rex Howerman filed for divorce in Suffolk County Supreme Court yesterday. Howerman charged with three murders that allegedly happened over 10 years ago and then accused of dumping the bodies in Gilgo Beach, Long Island.
Spouses these days just have no loyalty.
And developers in Oklahoma, are planning a $2 billion theme park, and they say it's going to be like an Americana Disneyland. The American Heartland theme park and resort is going to be built near Grand Lake in Oklahoma. scheduled to open in 2026. They say in a news release, it'll be comparable in size to Disneyland. It'll feature six American lands: the Great Plains, Bayou Bay, Big Timber Falls, Stony Point Harbor, Liberty Village, and Electropolis.
Electropolis.
I'm not sure what
somebody
that is.
Read way too many comic books growing up.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah,
fair
the
enough.
20s.
Of course.
See what I mean? Say it's an Electropolis. That's where we're having these problems.
Yeah. See.
It'll also have a hotel. And what's more, what says Americana more than a 300-acre RV park?
Oh, nothing
that's
these
right.
days.
That's right.
Nothing these days. That's right. All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. Oh, future news already, man. We're so quick into this show. It's just kind of crazy times. Okay, so Milton City Council is going to meet tonight.
Yeah.
This is the first meeting after all of the most recent hot mess in this.
Yes.
Is it going to be drama tonight?
Yes.
100%.
I know. I kind of want to go.
When will we get a city manager?
Oh.
God only knows. That's the answer, is God only knows. Will we fix flooding in Escambia County with these massive grants? And will ECAT be better?
Yes. Yes.
I think to some degree, yes and yes.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.